Shalom, Saints, and thank you for joining us for our Searching the Scriptures episode. Each Thursday, we gather with the expectation that Jehovah is going to meet with us here. And so I want you to grab something to write with, grab something to write on, and of course, grab your Bible and prepare yourself for some inspirational teachings, quotes you can use, and of course, the truth that set men free. So stay tuned for Searching the Scriptures. Shalom, saints. The last thing Yeshua said to his disciples before he ascended was, "Go and make disciples of all nations." This command is known as the Great Commission. Our ministries have taken this commission very seriously and developed a discipleship training program that will change the way discipleship has been done up to now. Most discipleship training programs are denominational in their approach and is doing exactly what the Pharisees and Sadducees did in the days of Yeshua. Yeshua said, "You search the world over to find one proselyte, and you make them twice the son of hell as they were before you found them." The vision of Arthur Bailey Ministries and House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua, the Messiah. In fulfillment of the Great Commission, we've developed Discipleship101.tv. Discipleship101.tv is a 2-year seminary-level discipleship training program that takes a messianic Hebrew roots approach to the Scriptures. Now that we've completed this program, we are making it available to people around the world for free. We now have the opportunity to get it into every federal and state prison library and libraries around the nation. We also have the potential for getting this program accredited in universities and Bible colleges around the country. Now here's where we need your help. We need you to stand with us at the $1,500 level to help us get these workbooks printed and DVDs printed and duplicated in order to get them placed in prison libraries around the nation. For your help, we want to bless you with all of the workbooks and DVDs for each class as a thank you for helping us get this valuable information out. For your partnership, you will get all 8 workbooks and all of the DVDs by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you in advance for helping us get this valuable, extensive, messianic Hebrews discipleship training program to the nations of the world. By doing so, we're doing exactly what Yeshua said to do when he commissioned us to make disciples of the nation. Join us in this most important mission of making disciples of the nation by partnering with us today at the $1,500 level. You can partner with us at this level by sending your partnership check or money order to House of Israel. If you would like to pledge your partnership with us and make payments, please do so on our website at www.arthurbaileyministries.com. Just let us know you would like to make a pledge and make payments. Please help us get this material published so it can be placed in prison libraries and libraries around the nation. Partner with us today at the $1,500 level. Thank you. Shalom, I'm Arthur Bailey, Chancellor of the accredited Hebrew Roots University. Hebrew Roots University is the world's first and only accredited theological university that approaches scripture from a messianic Hebrew Roots perspective. I'm excited to inform you that Hebrew Roots University is open for admission. Please check out our newly designed innovative website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. At Hebrew Roots University, you can earn an accredited associate's, bachelor's, master's, and doctorate degree in several disciplines. We have kept our website design simple, making it easy to navigate to what really matters, and that is our degree courses. Please take a moment and peruse through the pages of our website at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. When you're ready to take the first step on this exciting educational theological journey, simply click the Apply Now button and follow the instructions. If you have any questions at any time during the application process, please do not hesitate to reach out to our admissions team using the Got Questions section at the bottom of our website. We look forward to walking with you on this exciting journey. So check us out now at HebrewRootsUniversity.com. That's HebrewRootsUniversity.com. Shalom. Shalom, Saints. I'm Arthur Bailey, and I'm inviting you to take advantage of our newest website, Leadership101.tv. This website is designed to help equip leaders for the kingdom of Jehovah. All you have to do is go to the website leadership101.tv and register, and you will have access to all of the leadership material on our website. So don't wait. Register today. That's leadership101.tv, and it's free. Leadership101.tv. Register today.
House of Israel International Services are held weekly at 3601 Rose Lake Drive, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28217, 11 a.m. Saturday mornings and 7 p.m. Thursday evenings, Eastern Time. This live broadcast is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Your financial support is greatly appreciated. Thank you. Motivating. Inspiring, challenging, encouraging. deepening, strengthening, and enhancing your faith. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to House of Israel International's live worship service.
Well, shalom, saints. Welcome to our Thursday's Searching the Scriptures. Certainly appreciate you all joining in with us, those of you who are here, those of you who are joining us online. We certainly welcome your presence with us today. As we go through today's teaching, we're going to be looking at Numbers chapter 5, and we're going to go through verses 1 through 31, and the title of this study is Defilement, Sin, Jealousy, and Adultery. And so for those of you who are joining us, want to take a moment. If you're on our website and you haven't subscribed, please take a moment and subscribe for updates there on our website. If you aren't on our website, then please, before you leave tonight, make sure you subscribe on our website. And if you're on YouTube or Facebook, you can also subscribe to those channels. And of course, we certainly would be notifying you if you hit those notification buttons. You'll be notified when we go live. If you would take a moment also and like and share our video and invite others to join in with us so they too can experience the blessings that you experience. You'll be given an opportunity at the end of the teaching today to ask questions. And of course, questions and prayer is going to be retrieved from our website chat. So if you're not on the website, then your opportunities to ask questions or to submit your prayer requests would be quite limited. This is why we encourage people to make sure you're on our website, especially during the Q&A time, because you'll get an opportunity to ask questions for clarification or to probe a little further on a particular statement or topic. And then you'll be given an opportunity to give as well. The vision of House of Israel is to be a worshiping people, an evangelistic community, a discipleship center, an equipping network, and a worldwide witness for Yeshua the Messiah. Our declaration for Jehovah's blessings. I declare this is my season for peace, power, promises, and prosperity. I declare the peace of Jehovah in my life and in my body. I declare the power of Jehovah to manifest fully in my life. I declare the promises of Jehovah fulfilled in my life. I declare the prosperity of Jehovah to permeate every area of my life. And I declare I will walk in obedience to Jehovah every day of my life. Father, we just thank you so much for your presence here tonight. As we've gathered here with the expectation that you join in with us. We know your word says where two or more gather together in your name, that you are in the midst. And we acknowledge your presence here with us tonight. We pray that you'll move amongst us, that you will have your way in our midst. Father, any areas or issues that you are not pleased with, that you will confront them, speak to us, give us eyes to see, give us ears to hear, correct us where we need correction, forgive us of our sins, cleanse us from all unrighteousness, create in us clean hearts, renew the right spirit. And as always, we pray for your will to be done in the midst of us today. And we thank you for that in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. So, again, we're dealing with defilement, sin, jealousy, and adultery. Communal living amongst hundreds of thousands of people in close quarters, moving from camp to camp, required clear communications, rules of conduct, and personal hygiene. And as I try to think about, you know, my mind go in places, I'm sure many of your minds go in places as well, when you have hundreds of thousands of people on a camping trip. Now, this was not the kind of camping trip that we're used to, where, you know, we set everything in place and then we have a destination that we're going to. And of course, we have a time period that we're going to be there. And of course, then we return to our place of dwelling. But these individuals found themselves in the wilderness for 40 years. And during this time, you know, they didn't have porta potties. They didn't have the kinds of services that we are accustomed to. This was roughing it for real and for a prolonged period of time. And so they needed clear rules. They needed clear communications. And of course, maintaining safety and then maintaining sanity and sanctification was essential to good health and the protection and well-being of everyone. And so Jehovah in this portion of Numbers is going to give clear instructions to Israel on what is necessary to maintain an environment where he would dwell in their midst and how to deal with jealousy and adultery. And so there are three particular portions that this particular passage is broken down to or broken down in, and we're going to look at each of these portions here tonight. Moses, the Bible tells us, Jehovah spoke unto Moses. And of course, we know that Moses wrote what Jehovah spoke. In verse 2, he instructs Moses to command the children of Israel that they put out of the camp every leper, everyone that had an issue, and whosoever is defiled by the dead. So in these first few verses, verses 2 through 4, Moses is going to be responsible for communicating to Israel on how they are to deal with individuals that are in uncleanness. And it's not every uncleanness that he's dealing with here. It's three particular issues. One who is unclean because of leper. Two, anyone who has an issue. And the third, one that has been defiled by the dead. Now, the leper, we've already dealt with this. In fact, all of these particular topics, with the exception of the last one, when we get into the law of jealousy, all of these other issues have been addressed at certain points in Leviticus. Leper here is one who is diseased of the skin. And so we went through that in Leviticus. It's a leper or one who is leprous. Now, this other issue, this is one of those areas where it's dealt with in a sense, but not specifically dealt with when we were in chapter 12 and in chapter 15, but specifically in chapter 15 of Leviticus, where Moses was instructed to give instructions concerning a man who is in a state of uncleanness, and this is dealing with an issue, and then a woman who is in a state of uncleanness that is beyond her regular cycle. And that is also referred to as an issue. Now, an issue is generally dealing with blood coming from the wrong places or not natural flows of blood. And so an issue is typically connected to the unnatural flow of blood, specifically from the sexual organs, but it could come from other areas as well. And so we dealt again with this issue in Leviticus chapter 15. Now, normal sexual intercourse in Leviticus 15 and the menstrual cycle, or that which is referred to as Nidah, is excluded from this particular situation here in Numbers. There is a story in Matthew and Mark and Luke about a woman who had an issue of blood, and she had this issue for 12 years. Now, Matthew is going to tell us that the woman's issue was a disease. And then Mark is going to tell us that the issue was a plague. So they look at it from two different perspectives, but here in Numbers chapter 15, it's dealt with as something that has to be, the person has to be removed. Now, it's important that when we look at Numbers and we connect it to Leviticus chapter 15, there are those who believe that if a woman is nedah, she's supposed to be put outside the camp. And of course, this is not what this issue is dealing with. That is a state of uncleanness. There's also the same state of uncleanness when a man and woman have intercourse. That also renders them unclean, but they are not put outside the camp because they're in that state of uncleanness, or the natural menstrual cycle or the normal menstrual cycle. And so this is addressing a issue that is not normal. It is a problem. And so Matthew states in verse 20 of chapter 9, says, "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood." And this issue was 12 years. "She came behind him, touched the hem of his garment, for she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.'" Now, you know, we read a story like this and we don't think much of it because it's a story. But to this woman, she's had to deal with this issue day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out, year in and year out for 12 years. Now, Mark and Luke inform us that the doctors had tried many things and that she had spent all her money and only gotten worse. So I can see her going from one physician to another physician, going to this physician and, you know, maybe by recommendation, somebody recommended this person. She goes, she spends the money, doesn't get better, get another recommendation by somebody else, goes to another doctor, doesn't get well. In fact, Mark and Luke informs us that the woman only got worse. And then she ran out of money. So she couldn't go to any more doctors because she had spent all her money going to the ones that she had gone to. In Mark 5:25, it says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood for 12 years, verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse." And so we see an incident in the New Testament referring to a particular command in Numbers. Mark also indicated the woman had been healed of her plague. "So once she touched the hem of his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.'" And in verse 29, it says, "And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague." So now she's, you know, it's being addressed as a plague. It was addressed as a disease. It's an issue. And this particular issue required that a person be put outside of the camp and was not allowed to operate or mingle with everyone else. Being defiled by the dead was a potentially ongoing issue during the wilderness journey, and even after the children of Israel entered into the land unto this day. Now, this is a real serious issue. But those who separate the Old Testament from the New Testament, grace from law, individuals come in contact with dead bodies without thinking of it and interact with other people once they have come in contact with dead bodies. It's also common for Christianity and churches to bring dead bodies in their sanctuary, in the place of worship, because they disregard the instructions in relations to the dead. And so, says the Israelites really experienced death in the wilderness during the entire time they wandered in the wilderness. And Father had spoke concerning their wandering in chapter 14, verse 28. He says, "Say unto them, as truly as I live, saith Jehovah, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless you shall not come into the land concerning which I swear to you, to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh and Joshua the son of Nun. But your little ones, which you say should be prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised." Now, you think about this. Day in and day out during this time, folks are falling dead. They're dying. And, you know, you either leave them where they lay, not come in contact with them, or you want to give them a proper burial. You know, the Bible doesn't tell us all of this, but one thing's for sure, the contact with the dead, if you're in the proximity of a person who dies, then now that person is unclean and has to be removed from everyone else. "But as for you, your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness, and your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years and bear your whoredoms, until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness, after the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities, even 40 years, and you shall know my breach of promise." So they not only broke they didn't mix what Father had spoken to them concerning faith in going into the land and taking the land from those who occupied the land, said they couldn't do it. And as a result of that, they now ended up dying in the wilderness. It prevented some from celebrating Passover. In Numbers chapter 9, remember, Moses spoke unto the children of Israel that they should keep the Passover. In verse 5, it says, "And they kept." And I know I'm jumping ahead, but I'm bringing to bear what is written here in chapter 5 and trying to connect it with some actual passages where we see some of the actual examples. And in verse 5, it says, "And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month at even in the wilderness of Sinai, according to all that Jehovah commanded Moses, so did the children of Israel." Now we're going to see, based on this command in chapter 5 concerning being defiled by the dead, that it causes the Most High to initiate a second Passover observance for those who, for whatever reason, couldn't celebrate the first Passover in its proper time. Verse 6, "And there were certain men who were defiled by the dead body of a man, that they could not keep the Passover on that day." Now, we don't know how they became defiled. Could have been one of those whose carcasses fell in. Well, anyway, they were defiled by a dead body of a man, and they couldn't keep Passover on that day. And they came before Moses and before Aaron on that day, because, see, they knew, according to Numbers chapter 5, that their connection to the dead body meant that they couldn't come and be in the camp with everybody else. And so they got a real issue, because it's a catch-22. One, they have to celebrate Passover, but they can't. So it's like there's a command to do something, and then there's another command saying, you can't do that if you're in this state. So they come to Moses and Aaron on that day. And those men said unto him, we are defiled by a dead body of a man. How did they know that? According to what Moses had instructed them in Numbers chapter 5. Wherefore are we kept back that we may not offer an offering of the Lord in his appointed season among the children of Israel? So they're upset. They're bothered by the fact that, listen, you know, we're supposed to celebrate Passover. We're supposed to offer an offering during this time. And because we've been defiled by this dead body, we can't do it. So what do we do, Moses? And Moses said unto them, hold it, stand still, and I will hear what Jehovah will command concerning you. And so Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Now, he didn't just say, speak to those men. But now you need to communicate to all of Israel, because in one sense, he's saying, there is no need for you to come back to me if somebody else come to you later on saying, we can't celebrate Passover. What do we do? And so he's saying he's going to settle this issue once and for all and establish a second celebration or a second opportunity for those who couldn't celebrate. He says, speak unto the children of Israel, saying, if any man of you or your posterity shall be unclean by reason of a dead body or be in a journey afar off, yet he shall keep the Passover unto Jehovah. Now you might say, well, why would somebody take a journey close to Passover? And doesn't necessarily mean that they took a journey close to Passover, but they took a journey. And for whatever reason, one thing after another, after another, after another come up, and they can't get back. Well, he says, if they be off on a far journey, and they shall keep the Passover unto the Lord the 14th day of the second month at even shall they keep it and eat with it unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall leave none of it unto the morning nor break any bone of it. According to all the ordinance of the Passover, they shall keep it. Now, of course, there would be those who saying, you know, for whatever reason, I can't keep the Passover for this first month, so I'll just do it in the second month. And Father said, but the man that is clean and is not in a journey and forbeareth to keep the Passover, even the same soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he brought not the offering of Jehovah in his appointed season. That man shall bear his sin. What sin? Because he didn't do or keep the Passover when the Passover was appointed to be kept. He was not on a far journey, and he was not defiled by a dead body. Back to chapter 5. Verse 3, both male and female shall you put out without the camp, shall you put them that they defile not their camps in the midst whereof I dwell. And the children of Israel did so, and put them out without the camp, as Jehovah spoke unto Moses, so did the children of Israel. Now, in verse 5 and verses 6 through 10, he's going to deal with treachery and unfaithful acts. Numbers 5:5, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, and again, Jehovah spoke, Moses wrote, speak unto the children of Israel, when a man or woman shall commit any sin that men commit to do a trespass against the Lord, and that person be guilty. And notice what happens here is there are two words for commit in this passage. The first is one who do something, to do, to fashion, to accomplish, that they committed something. They made something. They make it, produce it, to do, to work. And of course, they actually did an act. They did something. That's to commit. Now, it's the second word here, commit, ma'al, to act unfaithfully. Two different Hebrew words. Commit, same word, or commit is the same word, but it's actually two different words. So the commit number two in this verse is to act unfaithfully, is to act treacherously, to transgress, to commit a trespass. And the interesting thing about it, which, you know, if you look at this verse at face value, it doesn't necessarily make sense. Because it's as if a person did something and it's like, no, there's more to what they did. Because what they did and what they have to do because they did it says there's more to this than what is on the surface. And sometimes that's what you have to look for. You have to look when you read a verse or you read a passage and you see certain things, you know, it should make sense to you. If it don't make sense to you, then you need to dig a little deeper, because typically if it don't make sense, there's a reason it don't make sense. So when a person commits a trespass against another person, it is also a trespass against Jehovah. Now, I have dealt with people who believe that their sin is between them and God and nobody else, even though they sin against somebody else. Well, that's just between God and I. You know, and because they take this position, you know, they recognize that they've sinned, but they don't ask forgiveness. They ask God for forgiveness, not the person that they've wronged. And they fail to realize that Father is saying, listen, if you wrong me, then yeah, you get things right with me. But if you wrong your brother, you also wrong me, because the wrong that you committed, I said it was wrong for you to do it, and yet because you have done it to your brother, which it was wrong for you to do, you not only sinned against your brother, but you also sinned against me. And so he says, when a person does that, then they have to now provide the restitution. Verse 7, and this is where it should say to you that this is not just something somebody said. This is not just something somebody did. Who they did this to suffered some kind of a loss. And if they suffered a loss from one's action, then that person needs to be restored. But not only do they need to be restored, it's as if they need to be restored with interest. He says, then shall you confess their sin, which they have done, and he shall recompense his trespass with the principal thereof. So if my action caused you to lose a cow or a donkey or a piece of property, then that piece of property has value. Not only are you responsible to recompense the principal, the piece of property, but I suffered loss with the lack of that property for a period of time. And that requires a fifth part thereof. Give it unto him against whom he has trespassed. So now it goes a little further. First, they must make restitution, and then add a fifth part of the value. If the person they committed the trespass is no longer living, it is to be given to his kin. If he has no kin, they must give it to Jehovah, and they give it to Jehovah via the priest that is serving in the priest place. Verse 8, but if the man have no kinsman, to recompense the trespass unto, let the trespass be recompensed unto Jehovah, even to the priests besides. And now we see that because they've committed a trespass, there is a need to be atoned for. This is a personal sin. So besides the ram of the atonement, whereby an atonement shall be made for him. So we know that in the Torah, there is personal sins, and then there is the sins of the nation. The sins of the nation, as we looked at in Leviticus chapter number 16, is the atonement and the reason why we have the Day of Atonement. The Day of Atonement is to atone for the sins of the whole nation. But each individual, when they sin, they now have to have an atonement. So there's the individual atonement, and then there's the national nation atonement, which took place on the Day of Atonement. But individual atonement could take place any day there is a sin or trespass. Verse 9, and every offering of all the holy things of the children of Israel, which they bring unto the priest, shall be his. So if the person doesn't have a next of kin, if there's nobody to, you know, you don't just get to keep it. You have to give it to the priest, or you give it to Jehovah via the priest. And then now it belongs to the priest. Now, the priest ain't had nothing to do with the trespass. The priest has not suffered any loss. The priest has not been wronged. But somebody has been wronged. And now, because the priest, if you remember, the priest served the Almighty on behalf of the people. Verse 10, every man's hallowed things shall be his. Who? The priest. Whatsoever any man giveth the priest, it shall be his. And now we're going to deal with this law of jealousy. And this goes through verse 11 through verse 31. And this, as you'll see, brothers and sisters, is a pretty serious issue because it deals with hidden adultery. It deals with a spirit, and this spirit is a spirit of jealousy. There is an offering, a test, and of course, there's the outcome. And all of this is covered in this particular passage, verses beginning with verse number 12, but actually here in verse 11, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses. And again, Jehovah is speaking, and what we see written is what Moses wrote, but he wrote what Jehovah spoke. Verse 12, he says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, if any man's wife go aside and commit a trespass against him. Now, interesting, because a wife can say, this is my body. I can do with my body whatever I want to do with my body. But when she's a wife and she go aside, or she go astray, or she go and be with someone else, she not only commit a sin against herself, a sin against the person who she's committing adultery with, who has also committed sin, a sin against Jehovah, but a sin also against her husband. And so she commits a trespass against him. If a wife is unfaithful to her husband and there is no witnesses, now, there are things that people do in secret, and they think that because they do in secret, no one see them. Because no one see them, they think they may be getting away with something. And as I'm looking at these verses and in these passages, there's some things that I've noticed about the Most High is he see things, but he may not necessarily deal with them at that moment. He see them, but he may not necessarily deal with them. And when he gives the instructions for this particular situation, you know, my mind is, well, you know whether she did it or not. Why don't you just speak to the priest? Why go through all of this? Because there is some serious grace here. There's opportunity for a person to come clean, or they cover their sin. They lie. And you know, thinking about where we are today, because the process that Father lays out in Numbers here seems to be restricted to the tabernacle and the temple time. And you'll see as we go along. So the first, a man lie with her carnally. In verse 12, it says, and she commits a trespass against him, and a man lie with her carnally, and it be hid from the eyes of her husband, and be kept close, and she be defiled, and there be no witness against her, neither she be taken with the man. In other words, she wasn't caught in the act. Now, we know that there's a situation in the New Testament where a woman is caught in the act of adultery. The man is not brought with her. She's brought in. And some would assume that Yeshua let her go. But he didn't just let her go, because he says, let you who is without sin cast the first stone. So it wasn't him that let her go. It was the people self-examining that put them in a position that they would not stone her. Now, that doesn't mean she didn't deserve to be stoned, is that the way he put it in the position that those who brought her to him wasn't really interested in her adultery, because they could have stoned both of them in the act. But no, the issue was to try to trap him to see if he was abiding by the commandments, you see. However, she now is defiled and there be no witness. So imagine there is no witness. The man is feeling something is not right. He don't know. He can't prove it. And so he's got this feeling on it. You know mothers and how sometimes we get when our children, you know, they ain't telling the truth. Some ain't right. And we get this feeling sometimes with our husband and wife. And sometimes it's because, you know, somebody's trying to surprise one another. You know, if you ever have a situation where somebody's trying to surprise the husband or wife, and they start acting a little weird because they don't want to give it away. And, you know, the person who is being surprised saying, hey, you know, somebody right here. But in this particular case, it's dealing with adultery. Now, the interesting thing here is that adultery is not mentioned. But it does say, and a man lie with her carnally. Well, what is that? If he's lying with another man's wife, what is that called? But the word adultery is not here. And so the issue concerning adultery still apply, but now there is no caught in the act. There is no witness. All a person has is a gut feeling. This will be referred to as the law of jealousies. A man think his wife has been unfaithful. And in this first incident, she hasn't been unfaithful, but he's still jealous. He don't know. And so verse 14 says, and the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be defiled. Or if the spirit of jealousy come upon him, and he be jealous of his wife, and she be not defiled. So she can either be or she may not be, but there's no witnesses. There's no catching one in the act. It's just a feeling. Then shall the man bring his wife unto the priest, and she and he shall bring her offering for her. Now, she's not required to bring the offering. He is. Why? Because he's the one who's dealing with this spirit. So he shall bring her offering for her, the tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. He shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon, for it is an offering of jealousy, an offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance. Because, you know, when a person is lying, how do you prove a person is lying? You can't. It's hard to prove that a person is telling a lie, even if they're telling a part truth. You don't know. And so this process, it's designed to bring a iniquity to the surface. That which is hidden, it is designed to be made known. The jealousy offering consisted of a tenth part of an ephah of barley meal. It's about a little under, you know, under 8 pints of barley meal. Verse 16, it says, and the priest shall bring her near and set her before Jehovah. Now, you know, where this is going to take place, we do know that he's going to take this barley and put it on the altar, but he's to bring her near, you know, either it's outside of the door, at the door, it doesn't necessarily say, but notice what it does say. And the priest shall take holy water in an earthen vessel. Now, we know that there is a place where the priests wash. Everything within the tabernacle was considered to be holy, even the ashes. You know, anything that was cut even before it was put on the altar, and then after it's taken off the altar, certain people could eat it, others couldn't come in contact with it. And so the priest now is to take holy water, and the most likely place he gets this holy water from is where they wash in the laver. And he's to take this water in an earthen vessel. And then the dust that is in the floor of the tabernacle, not dust outside the tabernacle. So now the place that the priests walk, everything within that sanctuary, that tabernacle structure, was considered to be holy. Now remember last week, and we dealt with the responsibilities of the different Levites that were responsible for carrying these holy items and how they couldn't touch them and how they weren't even allowed to see the furnishings in the tabernacle uncovered. The only thing that they could see is everything after it has been covered up, and then they weren't supposed to touch it. There were specific ways in which they were to handle it. Why? Because it was holy. So now the dust on the tabernacle floor is to be taken and put into the water. And it's almost as if you see him developing a portion, if you would. And the priest shall set the woman before the Lord and uncover the woman's head, and put the offering of memorial in her hands, which is the jealousy offering, and the priest shall have in his hand the bitter water that causes the curse. Now, I underline this word uncover because some could look at that and said, okay, the woman had a head covering. It doesn't necessarily say that she had a head covering, but the language there could give the impression. That word uncover, para, is to lead, to act as a leader, to let go, to let loose, to let alone or get loosed or to loosen, or to be loosened of restraint. And the first place I find this is in Exodus, where Moses stopped the people from working, and Pharaoh get angry with them. It says, and he let them from their work, loosed them from their work, or stopped them from their work, or interfered with them their work where they couldn't continue. And so he wanted them to go back to work. But this word indicates that they loosed something on her head. And the most likely thing that is loosed is her hair. If her hair is braided, if her hair is curled, if her hair is in a bun, or whatever the case may be. But it doesn't necessarily specifically say, and so one could take the impression that, because up until this point, there is no place where a man or a woman is required to either cover their heads or not cover their heads. The ones that are required to cover their heads are the male or the priests. The priests were specifically required to cover their head with a mitre when they go in and do their services. And so we know that that was a requirement. The priest could not do their service without their head covered. Now, you know, I won't go there because that'll open up a whole nother door. So I'm going to leave that out. But the usage here is refuse, uncover, naked, avenging, avoid, go back, bear, make naked. In verse 19, it says, and the priest shall charge her by an oath. So now the woman has got to make some statements. If no man have lain with thee, now here's what, the priest shall charge her by an oath and say unto the woman, if no man have lain with thee and you have not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. Now he's supposed to specifically speak those words. Now if you're that woman and you're thinking, man, you know, because by the time he finished all these things that he's got, that he's going to say, and knowing that the power of the priest that has been given by the Most High, then the woman knows that by drinking what she's about to drink, some terrible things is going to happen to her if she is guilty. And so he says, and if no man have lain with thee, and if thou hast not gone aside to uncleanness with another instead of thy husband, and be thou free from this bitter water that causes the curse. But if thou hast gone aside to another instead of thy husband, and if thou be defiled, and some man have lain with thee beside thine husband, and now he's going to speak what the curse is, because there's some serious issues here. One, her belly is going to swell. Two, her thigh is going to rot. Three, she's not going to be able to bear children. And four, she's going to be a curse amongst the people. This is how she'll be remembered. And then she'll have to bear her iniquity. Verse 21. Then the priest shall charge the woman with an oath of cursing. Now he's speaking this over her, and she's got to, you know, admit or deny. And the priest shall say unto the woman, the Lord make thee a curse, an oath among thy people. When Jehovah doth make thy thigh to rot, thy belly to swell, and this water that causes the curse shall go into thy bowels and to make thy belly to swell and thy thigh to rot, and the woman shall say, so she's got to respond to this. It's like, well, so be it. Now, if she has, then obviously she's probably questioning whether this is going to even work anyway. Because, I mean, it's like, man, you just took some dust off the tabernacle floor and you took some water out that thing over there. But then there's more to it. The curse written in a book, and blot them out with the water and make the woman drink the water. So now the priest is going to write something in a book. It doesn't tell us specifically what material is going to be used to write with or what is going to be written on. But one thing we do know is going to be rinsed and blotted out into the water that the woman is going to drink. And here's how it's written. And the priest shall write these curses in a book. So these things he's going to write about her thigh, about her belly, about her being a curse, about not being able to bear children. He's going to write them in a book, write these curses in a book, and shall blot them out with the bitter water. So he's going to take the water, and this is most likely what's going to make the water bitter. The dust, of course, off the ground. And he shall cause the woman to drink the bitter water that causes the curse. And the water that causes the curse shall enter into her. And it seemingly is going to become bitter once she drink it. Then, you know, while she's before the Almighty, she's got this offering in her hand. The waving of the jealousy offering by the priest. And then he's going to offer it on the altar. Then the priest shall take the jealousy offering out of the woman's hand, shall wave it before Jehovah, and then he's going to take some, a handful of it, and put it on the altar. Verse 26, and the priest shall take a handful of the offering, even the memorial thereof, and burn it upon the altar, and afterward shall cause the woman to drink the water. And when he has made her to drink the water, then it shall come to pass that if she be defiled and have done trespass against her husband, that the water that causes the curse shall enter into her and become bitter, and her belly shall swell, and her thigh shall rot, and the woman shall be a curse among her people. And if the woman be not defiled, but be clean, then she shall be free, and she shall conceive seed. This is the law of jealousies, when a wife goeth aside to another instead of a husband and is defiled. So she's not going to be able to bear seed. She's not going to be able to, her thigh is going to rot, her belly is going to swell. And then in verse number 30 says, or when the spirit of jealousy come upon her and he be jealous over his wife and shall set the woman before Jehovah and the priest shall execute upon her all this law, then shall the man be guiltless from iniquity and this woman shall bear her iniquity. And so that iniquity is dealing with, you know, if she's guilty, then the guilt or punishment. Now, it doesn't necessarily tell us that she's going to be put to death. However, she seemingly is going to suffer to death. But again, it doesn't necessarily make it clear, except the words give us the indication that there is the punishment for the iniquity that she is found guilty of. Now, this issue of punishment or guilt. The punishment for anyone caught in adultery was quite strict. And Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10 lays this out. And the man that commits adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. So that is the actual punishment for laying with another who is not the wife. Now, this passage doesn't deal with a husband. It deals with a wife. That is clear. That is obvious. So this is the fact that when a person is an adulterer, and you know this in Leviticus chapter 20, verse 10, it's difficult, and we don't see a process that a man goes through. We do see a process
that a woman goes through. And typically, you know, if a woman has committed adultery, 9 times out of 10, from all the circumstances that I've seen, it's not always, is that a man can lie to death. You know, that he done nothing, he ain't done nothing. But typically, and again, it's not always the case, that once the circumstance is clear, because I can imagine this woman in her belly starting to swell and her thigh starting to rot, then the question is, okay, so you're obviously guilty. Who did you lie with? Because, see, you know, this could go into another area, because if the man is accusing the wife of being with someone, and the one that the man is accusing the wife of being with has not been with the wife, it could be someone else, you see. But here in this particular case, it's like, you know, somebody is going to die. And typically, it's supposed to be the adulterer and the adulteress. How we deal with these issues in our day and time, you know, because this is specific to the tabernacle, and I would dare say it transferred to the temple, but we don't have these mechanisms in place today. However, we know that the Almighty has made it very clear that the adulterer and the adulteress will not enter into the kingdom. Those who do such things will not enter in. And unfortunately, there are people who, for whatever reason, they don't believe that. Because if they believe that, then their actions would definitely show it. If a person says, you know, those who commit adultery is not going to inherit the kingdom, and a person wants to inherit the kingdom and then commit adultery, then something is not clicking. I think this is one of the reasons why, you know, the Hebrew writer would say that those who come to Yehovah must first believe that he is. Now, he reward them that diligently seek him. But we also know that the wages of sin is death. Now, a wage is the reward for something. And for those who do right, the reward is good. The wage is good, if you would. For those who do wrong, then, of course, it's a different type of scenario. So that's the last of this particular passage. And at this time, if there are questions or comments, then we would take those now.
We don't have questions or comments, but we do have a prayer.
Okay, we'll take the prayer here in a moment. Any comments or any questions, anyone? If not, then just want to encourage you. Tomorrow, we are premiering Jude, an Epistle of Jude, and this will be the introduction. This is for our Friday Sabbath premiere. And, of course, on Sabbath, we're going to be dealing with temptation and betrayal, two teachings you certainly don't want to miss. If there are no questions or comments, we're going to give you an opportunity to give. Father in heaven, we just thank you so much for your goodness. We thank you for your mercies. We thank you for all that you do in the midst of us. Show us how to take what is obviously a command or a set of instructions that would be impossible for us to follow through today. And yet we see that this was the role of the priest to begin with. But we also know that jealousies are still in existence. Husbands jealous concerning their wives, wives jealous concerning their husbands. These jealousies that have led to separation, that have led to divorce, and in some cases, even murder and suicide. We know that jealousy still exists. And we know that jealousy among men, Father, causes sin and wrongdoing and actions that are a trespass against you. We want our hearts to be pure. We want to be right in your sight. We want to deal with these issues that causes these things, even thoughts. For as Messiah said, that when a man lusts after a woman in his heart, he's already committed the act. Father, we want to have a clean heart. We want to have a clean mind. We don't want to have any of these issues of jealousy or lust or any wrongdoing in our hearts that will cause us to sin against you and sin against our brother or our sister. So search us, deal with us, cleanse us, help us to rid ourselves of anything that is not of you, Father. We submit ourselves to you. We lay our hearts, our minds, our beings bare before you. You know us. There is nothing in us that is hid from you. And we don't want to hide anything from you. So help us to deal with all of the issues of our heart. And then I pray, Father, that you will heal those who are dealing with issues of jealousy, infidelity, those, Father, who are struggling even in their marital relationships with one another. I pray that you will intervene, that you will move on behalf of the husband, move on behalf of the wife, deal with the issues of jealousies, deal with the issues of lust and pornography and perversion and every other sexual immoral thought or behavior or action. You said that those who have clean hands and a pure heart will be able to ascend to your mountain. Father, it is our desire to have a clean heart, to have a pure heart, to have clean hands. And you know us. Pray that you will deal with every person, every one of our brothers and sisters. Because we know that these things are not just personal, but they affect so many others. They affect those, Father, that we engage in these actions with and their families. And we know that it is your desire to rid these things from amongst your people, that we be clean. You've instructed us to touch not the unclean thing. Come out from amongst them, to be separate from people who engage in such behavior that you frown upon and that you will ultimately judge. Be glorified in the midst of us, in our living, in our giving. Father, even as we prepare our hearts to give, we ask that you would speak to us, speak to our minds. And then we want your blessings. We want to see your prosperity. We don't want anything between us and you hindering the blessings of heaven and every need that we have being met. And so we commit these things to you, and we pray that none lack as a result of their giving, but to the contrary, that the windows of heaven be open, blessings in abundance poured out upon your people, not only blessing us, but causing us to be a blessing to others. And we thank you for that in Messiah Yeshua. Amen. All right. Well, with that said, brothers and sisters, we want to give you an opportunity to give. For those of you who are joining us online, on our website, arthurbaileyministries.com. Now, we did yesterday. I know that there was an issue with our website, which is why we encourage individuals, just as people have sometimes problems logging on because of the different platforms. We also have multiple ways in which you can give to support our ministry. And on the website there, if you go to the donate page on the website, we've kind of rearranged the page a little. So all of the information that once was there is still there. It's just in a different location. And what we have at top is a video of tithe and offerings. And then to the right of there in the box is ways to give and how you can give to our ministries. You can set up bill pay to your through your bank or credit union. You can use Zelle, Cash App, Venmo, or you can send checks and money orders to our P.O. box there. 1182 in Fort Mill, South Carolina. You can give through one-time donation, recurring donation, and all of the other methods in which you can give. And of course, if you're in Canada, you can give through the Canadian donation link. However you choose to give, we certainly appreciate your support, your gifts, and we pray Father's continual blessings upon you. If there are no other questions, I do see we have a request. Father, we thank you for our sister Akbaret. We pray your blessings upon her. We pray for her smooth recovery as she is in extreme pain, as she stated, the kind that she's never experienced before. Faced with the opiate drugs not being her choice, but nothing else helping, we pray, Father, that you will move mightily in the midst of her. Father, the pain that she is experiencing from having major bone removal and repair surgery with screws in her foot, we ask, Father, that you will alleviate this pain. Help her in this area, lest she be required to take these opiates. And we know the effects that those things have had over long-term use and the possibilities of addiction. But we know, Father, that you know how to move in the midst of us, even in the midst of these circumstances, and your protection is always available to us. So we pray for Akbaret's healing to be pain-free, that your presence bring forth a speedy recovery in her body. And we thank you, Father, that she know who she can call on, whom she's put her trust in, and how you've been there for her and with her time and time again. And so we thank you and we bless you and we pray your continual blessing upon her. In Messiah Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, I think that is it. If there are no other requests or questions, just want to remind you that the early feasts are anticipated to begin in early April. Now, we just transitioned into the month of March. We're in the 12th biblical month. And so this upcoming month, we're looking for the new upcoming biblical month, which begins with the sighting of the moon. We're going to be looking for the new moon to start the new year, and it's anticipated to be early April. And so for those of you who have started setting aside your second tithe, which we you should have been setting aside. If you haven't, start doing it now. We're looking forward to this year Passover. We're going to be celebrating this Passover, unlike we've celebrated Passover the last couple of years. And so we're encouraging you to join in with us. Now is a good time to stop purchasing food with leaven in it. Put it in that freezer. Make sure you start eating all the leaven products you have so you don't have to end up throwing anything away. And then, of course, think about travel or plans to join with us for the feast. Start looking for matzah or unleavened bread. I know that in my neck of the woods, they haven't started stacking the shelves yet. But in the next couple of weeks, you'll probably start seeing the matzah trickling in, and you want to get your hands on it as soon as you can, because there's historically it comes and goes pretty quick. For those of you who have not yet signed up for the emails to be notified concerning the RSVP for Passover, we're going to be putting that up soon, and you'll see that. And then make sure you're subscribing so that you will be notified when we do send out the email indicating that the RSVPs are now on the website. If you are a senior and you would like for us to call you, please make sure that you communicate with us. You can use the request. You can send your request through our contact us, or you can call us at the office and let us know. Because what we've been doing is that there are certain individuals that we call and check on as they give us permission to call and check on them. And so if you are a senior and you would like for us to call you monthly or biweekly, then you want to make sure that you let us know. And we we will be making contact with you, just saying, hey, how you doing? Making sure, you're still breathing. Making sure that everything is okay. Making sure you got somebody to talk to. And, of course, anything that we can do to be of service is your opportunity to communicate with us. And so, again, we know how difficult it can be sometimes, especially for our seniors who have family members who may not necessarily appreciate the walk that you're on, appreciate you keeping the Sabbath and celebrating the feast, and folks may start not necessarily looking in on you like they should. But we're here to make sure that we at least call you and check on you if that's something you desire. So please let us know through the Contact Us page or call the office during regular business hours and say, hey, I heard Brother Bailey talking about that contacting seniors. I want to be contacted. Here's my number. And then you'll be asked how often, and then we'll take it from there. Amen. If there are no other statements or prayers, then we're going to call it a night. Receive your blessing. Jehovah bless you and keep you. Jehovah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. Jehovah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen? Amen. Well, thank you again for being with us. Remember, we can't do what we do without you. Your prayers and your support is essential for us, and we look forward to seeing you. Remember, tomorrow at 8 p.m. is our Sabbath premiere, and 11 a.m. on Sabbath morning, we will be here for our Sabbath service. Until then, until Shabbat, Shalom, saints. Shalom, saints. Tithing and giving first fruit offerings are critical parts of the believer's faith and has its foundation back in Genesis 4:4, when Abel brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And Jehovah had respect unto Abel and to his offering. Abel was commended by Jehovah in Hebrews 11:4, where it states that by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Solomon said in Proverbs 3, 9 and 10, honor Jehovah with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall your barns be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. The prophet Malachi wrote in chapter 3, verse 11 and 12, to bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, says Jehovah of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there should not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says Jehovah of hosts. And all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith Jehovah of hosts. When we tithe and give offerings consistently in obedience to Jehovah's commandments, we can count on him to keep his promises to us and consistently meet all of our needs. It is our Father's desire to bless you. However, it begins with you and your act of obedience to tithe and give offerings. Do it today. Shalom.
For more information, visit www.arthurbaileyministries.com or call 888-899-1479. House of Israel International Services is made possible through financial contributions from brothers and sisters like you. Thank you.